attract, really attract. Praise the Lord. Please remember that a strong marriage is built on the word of God. God is the author of marriage. I will never get tired of reminding you of that. God is the author of marriage. Marriage is not built on men's opinions or traditions. Marriage is built on the word of God, because God is the author of marriage. It's just that simple. All right, the question here today is, do opposites really attract? Now, this is how it works. Opposites, some people have argued over the years that opposites attract, but it is not a rule. All right, it is not a rule, it's just an observation. It is not a rule, it's just an observation. Okay, but as we play out, as we continue to share today, we'll be able to pick out some major points and see how it works. When they say opposites attract, they are not talking about if you are short, you must attract somebody tall. That's not what they mean. They don't mean if you are fair, you must attract somebody that is dark. No. They're talking about real character or behavioral patterns. And for instance, when they're saying opposites attract, they don't mean a spiritual person has to attract a carnal person. They don't mean a loose or a holy person will attract a loose person. And they obviously do not mean that a Christian will attract an unbeliever. That's not what they mean. They are talking about behavioral patterns. As a matter of fact, it's not even every time that there must be strong opposites. In fact, sometimes similarities also can attract. Praise the Lord. Okay. But when they're talking about opposites attracts, they are looking at simple things or behavioral patterns like somebody being organized. If you're very organized, or let me say somebody that is not organized. If you are not good with details, you might find yourself liking very much someone that is good with what? Details. You are not a very organized person. Whenever you see someone that is very organized, you will trip for that fact that, wow, this person is so organized. On that common example is someone that can talk. If you like to talk a lot, once in a while when somebody that is very quiet, you'll be like, wow, this person can just sit down quietly. You are tripped. Or when you're a very quiet person and you see somebody that can talk freely, sometimes you'll be like, wow, you would like to work with that person because they'll talk for you. Praise the Lord. All right. So they're talking about, who can give me more examples of opposites like that, that can go together in a relationship? The audience, please. Give me examples. I want to know. I want to see what you feel. Anybody, just talk. I can't speak from there. Let me see if I can hear you. Beautiful. That's a very good one. Somebody that is prudent and someone that can spend anyhow. That's very powerful. Those ones usually attract. Usually attract. Yes? Give me another one. Yes. Temperament. You be specific. Temperament is a wide range. Think more. Before we finish, you give me. Give me another one. I want the lady to talk. Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful. Somebody that is strong-willed and someone that is submissive or laid back. It's because some people have a strong drive for success. They can go. Some people, before they even stand up from the chair, you give them a motivational speech before they can stand up from the chair. So that's a very good one. Give me one more. Let me get one more. I want a lady. Ladies have this thing. Give me one more. Anybody? From the blue corner or the red corner? Okay. On that major one, like the gentleman said, is temperaments. But temperament is a bit wide because there are four major temperament types. All right. But temperaments are a good way people also, where opposites attract. There are four major temperaments. I'll run through them quickly because I discovered that as much as you think these things are common knowledge, a lot of people don't know temperaments. We asked somebody one time, what is your temperament? He said, sometimes she's very hot-tempered. Sometimes she's very cold and gentle. That's not what we mean by temperamental. And it's not also temperature. So you have fever. What's your temperament? Fever. Yellow fever. That's not, it doesn't mean fever. It doesn't mean you are hot or cold. Temperaments, there are four major temperament types over the studies they've done over years. Now, please remember, temperament is not It's not by force that you must fit into it. But they've, through the studies they've made of human beings, they've discovered that there are four major temperament types. One of them is called the sanguine. The sanguine is a very bubbly person, very playful person, can relate, can laugh, can make everybody happy, usually very forgetful, usually not very organized and all that. But he can get along with people. All right, he's the one that will hardly sit in class, but he knows, he sits and everybody sees, talks to everybody, plays with everybody. He can laugh with you when you are laughing. He can cry with you the next minute if you are crying. And he has forgotten the person that was laughing just some minutes ago. The next one there is the choleric. The choleric is a bit more serious-minded. He's very project-driven. The choleric doesn't have time for people like that. He likes projects. He sets a goal and he goes after it. The choleric is very purpose-driven, strong. He can't stand people that are idle or jobless or useless. He doesn't understand what they're doing in their life. He believes everybody must succeed. Life is a competition for a choleric. For a sanguine, life is a game. It's fun. You must enjoy life. All right, but for choleric, life is a competition. You don't do anything without winning. If you come to church, you must come on time. You must win. Get there for everybody. You know, to him, everything must be winning. Praise God. All right, but he's very hard on people because he's not very people-oriented. Then there's the guy called the melancholy. The melancholy is very gentle, but he's very detailed. He's usually very musical or gifted in terms of art or things like that. He's very detailed. He's very organized, but he can also have internal or emotional issues, all right? The melancholy is also very perfectionist. He doesn't like things being done anyhow. Things must be done perfectly. A melancholy is the kind of person that can stop everything he's doing to try and clean one small spot here that no other person can see. And he'll be cleaning it for 3 years because he wants things to be perfect. If he's not careful, he won't get anything achieved done because he's trying to get everything to be perfect. Then the last one there is the phlegmatic. He's very laid back. Very laid back, very gentle. He's reliable, but he's gentle. He's the kind of person that won't go out of his way to talk to anybody. He won't go out of his way to do anything. Very laid back and gentle. You need to motivate him to get going. But once he starts going, he will stay there. He'll be faithful in whatever he does. All right, that's just a summary of the temperaments. So sometimes too, because of the temperament types, they can attract. So, like we've said, somebody can be prudent and he will see somebody that is not, or somebody that can be not prudent, can be unprudent. That's not English, but he might not be prudent, and he will see somebody that is good, you know, with managing money. He will naturally be attracted. Something will spark off in them because they are getting some mutual benefits from each other. So yes, it will first, the first step, there are 5 steps I have here. The first step, when you meet somebody that has some opposites or some things different from you, is that it first of all fascinates you. It fascinates you. It fascinates you. So you see yourself that every time you have 5,000 naira, before you even leave your house and reach the next street, you have finished spending it. There's somebody that they gave 5,000 naira with you, 3 years after, he has 4,005 remaining. You know, you'll be fascinated. You'll be like, wow. You will naturally be fascinated. If you're a very quiet person and you see somebody that can talk and flow with people, you know, because sometimes people that are quiet, not as if they like to be quiet, but they just can't help it. All right? There is somebody that is very easy for them to mix. They just meet anybody, they talk, they flow. You just be fascinated. Ah, see this guy just talking, just flowing. You will most likely be fascinated with the person. That's the first step. You'll be fascinated. You'll be tripped that, wow, this person can talk, or this person can is bold, or this person is all the things I am not. All right? The second step, after the person has fascinated you and probably the relationship has kicked off, the next step is that the person will frustrate you. It first fascinates you. The second step is that it will frustrate you. So you will discover that the quiet person will be telling the person, you can't you just sit down? In fact, I've noticed that a lot of times when people get married or want to get married, the man proposed to the girl because he likes the way the girl, she's just go about, she just smile, no? She just smile like this. Oh, she just go about, she greets everybody. She's jovial. In fact, somebody came from the casino like that one day. He said, Pastor, I want to break my relationship. I said, why? He said, because the girl, she can't, she just goes up and down. I said, why did you propose to her? He said, I proposed to her because she was jovial. I said, that's the meaning of jovial. She will be playing with everybody. That's the whole idea. You see, he was fascinated by her because she was jovial. But now that she now belongs to him, you know, he doesn't want her to go and play everybody. That's what attracted you in the first place. So it ended up frustrating you at that point. Maybe you that like to spend, you discover that when you are now with the person that is prudent, everything you want to buy, you say no. Let's buy ice cream, no. Let's buy sweet, no. Let's buy TV, no. No need for TV. Let's be watching ourselves. Let's buy Jen, no. Praise God. I don't know if it happened in your house, or my father doesn't buy anything. No matter what's happening, we are the last to buy generator in our street. We are the last to do well. In our, if other people were doing boho, we did well. That's my father for you. He will do the, you know, even if also do, you do the worst one. He's just like that. My mom said, let's do this one. My mom wanted to do the best in the life. My father was doing it. If I even do well, my father did. It was my mother that started doing it first. It was shame that I made him take it over and finish it. Left him, he said we should come fetch water down the road. I don't know if you, some of you are jabot, I don't know what I'm talking about. But all those days, you carry bucket and go down the road and go and fetch water. Another, I was the last born, so sometimes when they wake up, I wake us up early in the morning to go and fetch water, I'll go and lock myself in the toilet as if I'm missing myself. But you see, I wish I had sisters. I had four brothers, we were five boys. You know, boys don't do all those kind of emotional things with you. They will knock on the door, come out! They say, we'll wait for you. Boys are useless. You know, if it was girls, say, leave him. He's the last one. Boys, say, wait for you. Come out. After I don't come out, they'll break the door down. Kick the door. Come on, my friend. They say, he's young. He cannot carry the big one. I said, the small one. Carry the small bucket. Boys are useless. You can't depend on them. They have no emotions at all. Praise God. So it was like that. So that guy that is not prudent, that saw the lady that was prudent, after a while he will be frustrated because she won't agree for them. In fact, he will start dodging to buy the things. He will buy them in secret because he will be frustrated. She will not agree no matter what. Let's buy a TV, no. Let's buy DVD, no. Let's buy, no. It will then frustrate you. Which other examples did we give of opposites? Organized, yes. You now discover that person that is not organized will frustrate you. You that are organized. Or the person organized will frustrate the one that is not organized. Because the one that is organized will just come and drop his shirt anywhere. Bwah. Now say, no, pick it up and go and hang it. Or pick it up and fold it. And the person is not organized. It's against his natural flow. I should not start folding the cloth. Why? Throw it there. It will frustrate you. That's the next step. It will frustrate you. The third step is that it will regulate you. It will regulate you. And this is the good part. Because sometimes that person helps you to manage your area of weakness. It will regulate you. Because if they leave you on your own, that person that is not prudent, no matter the amount of money he makes, somehow he spends it. But when he marries that lady or that man that is organized, the person can help them be keeping the money. So it regulates their weaknesses. There are some couples that... if you want to ask the man for money, ask him in secret. Because once you ask him and his wife hears, the answer is no, we're not giving you. Because the man is a free, anybody asks him, he will give. He will give, but the woman will now come and regulate that behavior. Praise God. So it regulates you. For the person that is organized, you now find out also, if the one that is not organized, I mean the one that is organized, the one that is organized will help you regulate your life. For instance, for me, I hate details. I hate arranging things. I hate all those things. So, if you want to travel, I mean, my wife does all the packing and the unpacking. And when we reach where we are, when we want to come back, she will also pack again and bring it back. Those clothes, if I pack clothes into a bag and I travel with it, by the time I come back, I don't unpack it. It will stay in that box till I want to travel again or till I really need that shirt and I go and look for it. I hate unpacking and packing. I just like to wear the clothes. I even hate washing. I can buy new clothes instead of washing. The advantage of buying new clothes is that you can wear it immediately. If you wash, you will dry it, then you iron it. That's too much work. I'll buy a new one. Praise God. If you buy one, you can wear it now. I mean, but you see, that other person regulates your life, or else you will just run into the bush. You will kill yourself. You will self-destruct without that regulation. Praise God. So when we're traveling, all our passports, all our documents, my wife knows where it is. She can find it. I'm so not used to doing routine that even my signature sometimes in the bank is so irregular. They say it's irregular signature. I can't sign my signature the same way two times. Praise God. So most of our accounts are in her name and in her signature. Because at least she can sign as she has a male side to her. She has a melancholy, detailed and organized side. So she can sign one signature. A male can do one thing 100 times and do it the same way that 100 times. A sanguine, people like us, will do it 100 times and do it differently all the 100 times. So the balance has a way of regulating you. It balances you out. It brings a balance to your life so that you won't play all the day. Those ones that are playful and those ones that are serious minded, when they come together, it helps them. Because the person that plays can play all day long and not be tired. Then the other one that works can also work all the day long and not play. So, but when both of you come together, there's a regulation. You regulate your lives. And the fourth level is that you motivate each other. You motivate. You motivate. So you find out that the organized person gradually begins to teach the disorganized person how to be organized. Because sometimes you might not be able to be together. You might just learn. So you begin to learn. Because that's what marriage does. The two people begin to come together as one. And they begin to, you know, rub on each other. So you motivate. You motivate. When my wife, because she's largely melancholy, she doesn't naturally like to talk. She's not a natural. She won't go out of her way to start talking to people and start flowing people. You know, me, I like people. Don't give me paper. Give me people. I don't like paper. I like people. I can talk to people from morning to night. But she's not so much into people naturally speaking. But when she married me and all that, I had to start teaching her. I had to start motivating her to talk to people, to flow with people. So the motivation will come. So if you are not organized, you find that the other person is going to teach you gradually how to be organized. So just by marrying that organized person, your own organizational level will improve more than the person that is not. When two disorganized people marry, they will even misplace the children. So anyway, the children, I've not seen them for the past 1 week. Sir, I thought they were with you. It's the children I'm talking about. Though. They have misplaced them. Say, I call your mom. Well, let's know that they have gone to their mom's house. They have misplaced the children. They will be opening cupboard. So, where are the children? We're opening fridge and freezer. Where are the children? They've misplaced them for the past 3 days. Praise God. Or when two organized people marry, there's a problem. Everything is organized. Everything is scheduled to the last detail. And after a while, it becomes boring. There will be no spontaneity. Everything, we must eat at a certain time. We must eat a certain thing. There's a timetable for what we eat from now to next year. All right, so you begin to motivate each other. Then lastly, there's usually an exchange towards the latter years. You find out that the person that was very talkative, sometimes as things go on, he might become a bit quiet. Then the one that was not talking before now becomes the talkative. Or you find out the person that was not organized before finally now starts becoming organized. He catches on. There's usually an exchange. Then the one that was very organized gradually now starts becoming scattered. When we started, when we got married and all that, those days my wife would wait for me in the car. Wait and wait. I'm talking to people after people after people. Nowadays, I'm the one that does the waiting. I wait. She's in one meeting, talking to this person. Most I have to come upstairs and drag her. Let's go. In the office, in the church, everywhere, I'm the one dragging her. Let's go. She's the one talking. But when she came first, she couldn't talk to anybody. She would just sit down. I would talk and talk and talk. She'd be waiting for me. Now I'm doing the waiting. Our strengths are gradually exchanging. Although I'm not quick to exchange the one of organizing. Let her continue organizing. I'm not ready yet to exchange that one. Praise God. So it's possible that opposites attract, and it's for a good cause, because if they leave you the way you are, usually you might self-destruct. But in fact, that's part of what the whole idea of marriage is. It's for two people to strengthen each other in the areas where they might not be so strong. In fact, that's what God said. God looked at Adam and said, it's not good for this man to be alone. And if you check, everything that Adam lacked is what he packaged in Eve and brought the woman. And two of them together become one. They're supposed to become strong. Two are better than what? One. So they're supposed to balance out the areas where one is weak, where the other is strong, and things like that. Praise God. All right. So, so those are some of the few steps that you go through. But the idea, like I said, is not for you to walk around thinking that I must attract somebody that is opposite. No. Like I said, it's not a rule. Sometimes you might attract somebody that is a bit similar. All right? It's not as if it's a rule that it must be opposite. So you now be interviewing the person, make sure we're opposite. Say, me, I can spend money. What are you? No, it doesn't work like that. All right? It doesn't work like that. But it can happen. It can happen. You can see one person will be very purpose-driven, very choleric, very let's go, very forward and shouting. She will not marry someone, a man that is very quiet. He counts his word. In a day, you can count how many times he talks. Where are you going to? Don't go. And that's it. He has finished for the day. Till tomorrow. Then you marry a woman that can talk. There's a balance to it, because if two of you can talk, who will do the listening? So this way is balanced. One person can listen, you will talk and talk and talk and talk, and it will just be contributing much more. So what happened? Brrr, 2 hours. So what did you do? Brrr, 2 hours. So it creates a balance. So it's not bad. It's good when one person can talk, because if two of you can talk, who will listen? But like I said, as time goes on, you will rub off on each other. The weaknesses of one will be assisted by the strength of the other guy. And two of you will get there stronger and finish better. Praise God. All right. So that's the summary. But what I want to do, I want us to take real life situations or questions so that I can enter into some specifics as relates to people that are here. Praise the Lord. Before we do that, let's bow our heads. Let me pray for the person here today that is not born again. Because we're talking about strengths and weaknesses, opposites and all that. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you will most likely be controlled by your flesh. It is the Holy Spirit inside of us that gives us the ability to manage weaknesses. So I want to pray with you. If you are here today, you are not yet born again, you need Jesus in your life. Please, I want our heads to be bowed at this point. I want to pray with you. If you are here and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to be honest enough to say, Pastor, I am not born again. I want you to pray with me. Please just raise your hand up wherever you are. Raise your hand wherever you are. I just want to pray with you right there on your seat. You don't even have to stand up where you are seated. Help me raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray with me today. I want to give my life to Jesus. Raise your hand up. Raise your hand up. A good marriage is not guaranteed for you except by the power of God. It is God that gives a prudent wife. You can't attract someone better than you. Lift up your hand. You want to give your life to Jesus this evening. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Raise the hand. I'm waiting for you. Just raise the hand. Raise the hand. You only attract your kind. Raise the hand. God bless you. God bless you. Raise it above your head. I need to be sure I'm seeing you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm waiting for you. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. 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 Raise the hand. I'm waiting for you. Raise the hand. God bless you. Yes, yes. If you want to join them, you can join them. You can join them. You can join them. God bless you. You can join them. You can join them. You want to give your heart to Jesus. Let me see your hand up. Just keep it up. You can join them. You can join them wherever you are. Don't live the same way. You can join them. God who can turn your life around. Not just in the area of your marriage or relationship. Even in any other area of your life. Any other area of your life. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. You can join them. Please just raise the hand. You can join them. Raise it well. Raise it well. You can join them. Raise it well. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If your hands are raised up, please say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sin. Wash me with your blood. I receive the grace to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. If you just give a life to Christ today, please, a yellow card has been given to you. please help us fill out that card. We would like to talk with you 2 minutes after the service. We'll just talk with you briefly. Praise the Lord. All right? While we take the questions and other things, let's quickly take a few announcements. Then we'll go into the question and comment. Temperament is largely about who you are when you don't have Christ in your life. When you have Jesus in your life, your temperament is supposed to be spirit controlled. So if you look at Galatians 5 verse 22, they mention the fruits of the spirit. That is what they expect your temperament to be. Can you show Galatians 5 22 on the screen? That's what they expect your temperament to be as a child of God. As a believer that is a child of God. Okay, look at this. It said, but the fruit of the spirit. That the spirit there means the Holy Spirit. So once you become born again and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, this is the temperament they expect for you to have. They expect for you to have love. And you, if you notice, all these things mentioned here, they are answers to all the weaknesses of all the temperaments. All right? So they mention love. They mention joy. There are some temperaments that are usually very depressed. Those are melancholies and phlegmatics and all. They're usually very depressed. So they say joy. So there's supernatural joy inside you. Next one is peace. There are some that are very troubled. You have peace. Long suffering means patience. There are some that are not patient at all. Say, I'm not patient. They give you long suffering. That means long suffering means you can tolerate something for even longer than just normal person. Gentleness. The choleric is very rough. They give you gentleness. Goodness. Faith. There are temperaments that are very fearful. They give you faith. The next verse. Meekness. Temperance means self-control. It's against such there is no law. So they are mentioned. So when you become born again and you have the fruits of the spirit, this is what your temperament should look like. All right. As a businessman, would a non-business oriented woman fit? It depends. Like I said, opposites attract is not the rule. It's not by force that you must now start looking for somebody opposite. No. It depends on who the person is and their character. But anybody that wants to marry a businessman needs to be a person of faith. Because you know how business is. You need faith to run a business. It's not like a paid employment where if you sleep in the office, they will still pay you. All right? Business, but in the terrain where we are, business can be rough. So you need somebody, a woman that can pray, a woman that understands what you do. Not a woman that will be disturbing you every day. And that doesn't bring money, and doesn't understand what business is doing. So it's not about any particular kind of woman that you marry. It's about the person's personality. Does it really mean that this topic counteracts compatibility and like-mindedness? No, it doesn't. You can be compatible and yet be. For instance, now I like to organize. Though. It's not as if I don't like to organize. I like to arrange things, but she is able to arrange things more. So we both agree on it should be arranged. And we even agree on who should arrange it. So that's compatibility. We are very compatible. We agree that we should keep money. We even agree on who should keep it. It's her. So it doesn't cancel being compatible. It just means that it actually strengthens you. It doesn't weaken you, it strengthens you. All right. When we talk about compatibility, usually we major on things like spiritual compatibility, because it's not everybody in church that you can marry. Some people are born again, but maybe their values or maybe their vision, where they are going in life. For instance, I met many fine girls before I met my wife. Some of them were not pastors' wives. They didn't have the understanding of what a pastor's wife or a pastor's life will require. Some of them wanted to enjoy life. If you want to enjoy life, ministry is not the job for you, because ministry is military. Praise God. So if you like to enjoy life so much, your hand is like this, bent like this, go and marry a business tycoon. It's not ministry you need. If you are the kind of person that, I don't like to talk to people, I hate to move, drive all these people. Drive them. Why don't they come to the house? When we are looking for them to bring them, you say drive them. You shouldn't marry a pastor. So I met a lot of people like that. They are not compatible in terms of the vision of their life. Some of them even said, I want to go to America. I hate this country. Me, I love this country. Me, I love Nigeria. Let them people, everything. That's how I see it. The guy will say, I want to leave this country. I'm going to America. I'm going to die in America. Ah, good luck to you. Your vision and my vision is not the same. Do we get it now? So it's like that. So it's talking about values, vision, important things like that. All right. You can ask verbally if you want to ask with the mic. They will give you a mic so you can still raise your hand. How do you know if you are genuinely attracted to your opposite or just want to use them to make up for what you are not? You see, a lot of things can attract you to somebody. All right? But if it's not something strong enough, it shouldn't be the only reason why you want. For instance, I can't say because my wife can organize, I can organize. That's the only reason why I want to marry her. You see, that one is not, you turn her to a slave. There will be no real relationship. There will be no real friendship. But anything can attract you to someone. If I'm very quiet and shy, and I see a woman that is very bold, that can first attract me. That one is not marriage. That one is not love. That's just attraction. It's good. Anything can attract you. It can be that you don't know how to arrange clothes. You don't have good dress sense. Then you see somebody that, everything is the cap. Everything, you see that their shakara is too much. They can arrange clothes. That can attract you. The person's dress sense can attract you. Don't call it love yet. That's the mistake many people make. You now see one girl well dressed, say, I love her. You don't love her. You are attracted to her. It's okay. Anything can attract you. Even her shape can attract you. Don't, I'm not saying, you know, because people try to say, I'm just looking at the spirit. I'm trying to see the spirit. No. The girl's shape can attract you. That's not a problem. But don't call it love. And don't build your relationship just on that shape. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. All right? Somebody's spirituality can attract you. You got somebody very spiritual and they're watching and she's just crying. Oh, I just want to pee. That can attract you. But that alone cannot build a relationship. You will now go and get close. The attraction, just like the word implies, it brings you to the person. You know what that means? That means probably on this roll, there might be up to 300 ladies. All right? One of those things can attract me to one of them to investigate further. It doesn't mean I love the girl. Mm-mm. There are 300. I can't talk to 300 at the same time. But maybe this one's dress sense, among all the 300, made her stand out for me. So I will now go further and talk with her. Oh, how are you doing? What's your name? What do you do? Do you understand? Then from there, I'm seeing whether we are compatible in other issues. Whether am I enjoying talking to her? Are we on the same wavelength? Do you understand? So many people confuse attraction and love. Mm-mm. You can be attracted by the person's voice. Maybe you heard her sing in the choir. Oh, Lord! You say, oh, see voice. Amen. It's not yet love. It's not marriage. Don't say, I want to marry her. Mm. That's when you are going off key. I want to marry her. Mm. That means get close to her. You are attracted to her. It's okay. Her beauty can even attract you. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't build your marriage on just the beauty, you must now go and check, are there more things worthy of a relationship there beyond the beauty? The problem with many people is that they try to build the marriage on attraction. So maybe it's because she's very slim. You now marry her. She now give birth to triplets. She's now not slim again. Or she give birth even one, but three times straight. Month after month. And she's not slim again. You see, it has gone. Or you marry, maybe you see the man preaching. Maybe he's a pastor, young pastor. He's preaching, God is going to bless you. Listen to me, child of God. God is in heaven. And you say, oh, I like this man of God. And you marry him. Because in your mind, you think he's going to be preaching at home. You see, you were attracted by his preaching, but when he wants, you think when he wants to eat, he's going to tell you, listen to me, my wife, bring the eba in the name of Jesus, bring the soup in the name of Jesus. He's not going to preach at home. Hallelujah. So, praise God. So, that's usually the problem. People now want to build the marriage on that thing that attracted them. Or maybe you heard her singing. You think that every time she wants to talk to you, she will sing. No. She will not sing at home. And you get what I'm saying? So don't build the marriage on attraction. Anything can attract you. It can be her voice. It can be anything. It can be her nose. Anything can attract you. But you must go and check further. I have a message out there called Relationships That Work. Go and check the things that hold up a relationship. They are strong things. Or get the book, Who Should I Marry? Those are strong things that hold up a relationship. Anything can attract you. Anything. All right? Do we understand that? Okay. Can you as a lady marry someone who is born again, but you are more spiritually mature? Can this be a reason not for sin? Yeah, it depends on what you mean by spiritually mature. If you are more spiritually mature, is the person willing to grow spiritually? You see, in life, there are two kinds of people. For instance, if you see two gate men, there are two kinds of gate men. There's the gate man that this is where he's going to die. That means in the next 10 years, he will still be a gate man. In the next 20 years, he will still be a gate. But there's the one that's a gate man today, but he has a vision of where he's going. This is just a phase of his life. So in everything in life, you meet two people like that. So there's somebody that may be a spiritual baby now. It's just a phase. He just got born again. So there's nothing. He must be a spiritual baby first. But you can see that he's growing. You can see he's interested in things of God enough to keep growing. There are some that they are spiritual babies today. And when you come in 10 years' time, they will still be what? Spiritual babies. So if he's the type that is not growing, that is not really interested in God, he just wants to marry. In this kingdom, babies don't marry. Babies should not even be talking about marriage because they don't even have the capacity to know what to look out for in a spouse. If they make a choice to basically, it's mostly be carnal. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So check. I've seen people get married where the man was a spiritual baby at the time they met or at the time they married. And even after some months, the man even overtook the woman. And the man became more spiritual. And the man even became her pastor. Do you understand? So it's about, is this a growing Christian or just a baby? I've been pastoring for about 15 years. There are some people that since I knew them that time, and now they've not grown spiritually. The same thing I was teaching them 15 years, that's what I'm saying. They still don't understand. See now. Those are like babies permanently. Praise God. All right? So that's what it means. Okay, yes. Somebody's on mic. Good. Ask your question.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Pastor, I want to ask about these people. There are a set of people. These people, I don't know where they belong to. Most of them, when they go out, you see them, they live, they are jovial. But when it comes in where they are living,
yeah,
or whenever they are with their family,
yeah,
they live a responsible or a gentle life. As if they are, you know, they are gentle, but they are not that gentle.
Okay, so what's your question?
So what I want to know, these people now, what category are they? Where do they belong to? Because they can live any life, anytime, anything.
Okay.
Praise God.
Praise God. Why do you want to know their category? Do you want to marry one of them? You see, your job, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your job is not to go around and investigating people. If you are not comfortable with somebody's behavior, don't marry them. It's just as simple as that. For you to not start saying which category are they, you are wasting your energy. Don't worry yourself. First, the one that you want to concern you. Don't check people's category. because I don't know the people you are talking about and what exactly they have done. You see, some people sometimes might be quiet and you use the word irresponsible. Does it mean that when they go out, they are irresponsible? If it's somebody that is irresponsible, that's a double life. So that's not a good thing. So it's different. So I don't really understand your question. I want more on that question. My fiancé said, I am a talkative. Please, how can I stop talking too much? Yeah, I really need help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, it depends on really how much a talkative you think you really are. A guy called Mike Mudok said when he was young, he used to talk a lot. Talk. Then his mother told him, Mike, stop praying that you'll be saying wise things. So today he's known as one of the apostles of wisdom. He's a great preacher today. He talks a lot still, only that he preaches the word of God. Do you understand? So talking, it depends on what level of talking you're talking about. Are you talking nonsense? If you are talking, if you are preaching, trust me, it's not a waste of mouth. You are doing a good job. So it depends on what you are talking about. So start praying, start talking intelligent things. Alright? Because talking is a job. People like Feladuro told you, he will tell you that when he was young, they used to beat him for talking. And today, talking is what he does for a living. So that talking was not a bad thing, it was a good thing. They were trying to beat it out of him. That Feladuro told you, always told you, but now that's what he still does today. And he said one day he was driving one of his Benz cars, very fine car, and carrying one of his teachers in the car, gave the person a lift. And the person said, what do you do for a living? He said, that talk, he told me not to be talking that time. It's what I'm doing now. This car, I'm using the car. That's where I bought it from. The same talking. So that's number one. Then number two, if it's really that you talk too much, like that's what we mentioned, the fruits of the spirit. All right, there's temperance. That's the last one, the temperance. Temperance is talking about self-control. All right. If you allow the Holy Spirit to take over your mouth. In fact, that's why we get baptized with the Holy Spirit and start praying in tongues. When the Holy Spirit takes over your life, he gives you the ability to watch what you say. So yield, you are yielding more to your flesh. You need to yield more to the Spirit. And you will see that there will be control. There'll be control. All of us had weaknesses when we were born, when we just became born again. But you have, as you grow in the things of God, you begin to curb those things. Nothing else, it's not your mouth controlling you. Your mouth is not the one controlling you. You have control over your mouth. So take charge by the Spirit of God. All right? Take charge by the Spirit of God. Start praying about it. Start using the Word of God to control your mouth and all that. Anybody has a mic? Everybody's shy today. Is it ideal for an educated person to marry an uneducated person? It doesn't matter. Like I've shared this story so many times. I finished school with OND. My wife has a master's. We've not had the first quarrel. And she learns from me every day. I'm her pastor. I'm her teacher. I'm her boss in the office. Tell me more things. I'm her pastor. I'm her coach. I'm her mentor. She's saying it. She's here. Uh-huh. So, all those things are carnality. If the person is now, listen, some people, they didn't go to school and they are not intelligent. Some people went to school and they are not intelligent. So, if your issue is that you want an intelligent person, school or no school, school is not what makes you intelligent. What school does is that school exposes you to learning. Some people go through the school and they don't learn. Hello? Yes! So you know, you to know what, you know, in Nigeria, we are more interested in certificates. I don't have enough graduates that are jobless. They are graduates. They can't do anything with it. They don't carry certificate about. They can't do anything with it. School is supposed to open you for learning. It's not, the school itself is not the learning. Or let me say, it's not where the learning ends. But many people, it ends in school. What they A plus, so that way they just go and rest. They don't read again after school. Praise the Lord. People like Macha Shimolo did not go to any school. Although he has done courses down there, but he didn't go to school. In fact, some of the richest men in the world did not finish school. The Bill Gates, the Dell, the Steve Jobs, and the rest. A lot of them didn't finish school. They didn't finish school. And they are great men. So for them, they even lecture today. They have courses. Their programs are courses today that other people are learning. Praise the Lord. So what you should look at is other, like I said, go and get my CD called Relationships That Work. Those are things you look out for. Then get the book, Who Should I Marry? Check the real issues, are they there? If you are somebody like me, I like intellectual stimulation. So how to marry an intelligent woman? It's simple. So if you like her PhD, if you are not sharp, I met educated girls that are not sharp. They say, what do you mean? It's not sharp. So if you like, get anything you want to get. So get the real facts. What exactly are you looking for? And go for it. Praise God. And school is not a problem. At any age, you can go to school. You can, there's part-time school, there's any school. So that's not a problem. That one can be added. I know many people that they didn't go to school when they got married, but while they were married, they were doing one part-time course. Before you know it, they are not educated. That one can be added. Pastor, please, what do you think about a relationship that the people do not really have anything to say to each other, but just love spending time with themselves? Do you think it will last? That must be very boring. Praise God. I would advise that you really consider it before you marry, because is that talking that you'll be doing for the whole of your life? Oh? So if you have nothing to talk about now, it will get worse as time goes on. So except you are really sure that this is what you want to do, you want to be looking at each other every day. How are you? So I'm fine. I know. I just asked. It will be boring, no? So it's up to you. Can you cope? If you can cope, well, good luck to you. But me, one of the things I looked up, I wanted companionship. I wanted to make sure it's one of the major things you look for in a relationship. Companionship. Can we talk? Because when you marry, beyond the sex, it's not every day you'll be having sex when you marry. It's not you will bring every day. The one thing you do every day is that talking. There must be companionship. Make sure it's there. If you have filled the form, the usher standing by, you can give them your form back. What things are we to look out for that will enable us to go beyond the frustration stage? We could lead to a change of mind in any of the people involved. What you should do is that give allowance. Once you have understood how it works, give allowance for it, because you know that person is different from you. That's all. I believe you are talking about when you are not married, though. If you are already married, there's nothing you can do. Continue. But if you are single, all you need to do is give allowance for it. That person's difference is not a disadvantage. It's actually an advantage. I'll just read this once. How do we know the baby Christians, or who are the baby Christians? Oh, you see, that's why you have to be mature. If you two are a baby Christian, then you won't know a baby Christian. If you're a mature Christian, it's just like you telling me, how can a full-grown adult like this man know a baby? Their talk is not a baby tongue. Number one, a baby can't talk well. A baby walks and falls. A baby poops and pees on their body. There are many things you can know. So if you're an adult, you will know a baby. It's only when you're a baby that you can't tell who his baby is. If you are grown, you will see a baby. You will know a baby. If I talk to you 5 minutes, I can tell where you stand spiritually. All right? So it's about you growing spiritually. That's how you know. But the Bible also gives us some signs, which I can't finish explaining today. Please, I want to understand this situation of a guy who likes and cares for a girl, but to the guy irritates her. What I'm trying to say is, will she grow to like him with time? I've answered this question a million times. Sometimes, even when nobody asks the question, I just answer it. A relationship cannot be a relationship until the two people want to be in a relationship. So just, I like one girl is not a relationship. Like I've told you, that is attraction. It's okay for you to like the girl. Until the girl likes you back, you can't say you are in love. You can't say it's a relationship. So this question is already simple. The boy irritates him or her. It's simple. Go to your house. Or look for another girl. Sometimes, some boys can be dull sometimes. You are chasing one girl. The girl is not sending you. There are many fishes in the ocean. There's probably a girl that will appreciate you, appreciate what you have. But inside, you see most boys, they'll be following one girl that will be abusing him stupid. Look at him, stupid. He said, you just be following like Mumu. Mm-hmm. Look for a girl that will like you, Joe. Praise God. Because even when I was looking for a wife, some girls didn't send me. Don't let that pain you. No, it's not my life. Some people can't see what you carry. So be going your way. Don't be chasing one girl. The girl doesn't like you. I just say, out of all these millions of girls in this world, go and look for another person and move on. All right. Yeah.
I'm already married.
Yeah.
I have two kids, to the grace of God.
All right.
And I just want to ask this question. I have this weakness with my wife, and we do have some rows. The rows is all about, I'm a business-oriented person.
Okay.
I want to manage my finance.
Yeah.
But when she's at the shop,
yeah,
if she makes 30,000 naira, the all is our money. She doesn't know there's something they call capital. And okay, the profit is all you spend and you save from
so
it.
So she spends everything.
That is... So...
Is the shop your shop or her shop?
My shop.
Okay, and she spends everything?
Yeah, because I'm not always there.
Oh yeah, I understand.
I'm always on the way. I go out. Right. So, yeah,
One house. Yeah, go on. It's a very important question. Go on. So what's the question?
The question is this. I've been trying to bring out for the past 2 years for her to understand what I mean, capital and profit. It didn't work. So I decided to say, leave the shop and I lock it off for now.
Okay.
I'm looking for a sales girl. I don't know if I'm taking her out of it because I felt the woman is there to like help me as a helpmate. So that's my question.
Are you born again?
Yes.
Is she born again?
Yes.
Okay. I can't ask you the other questions here in public. You can sit down. We might be able to talk after. What you do after the meeting, we have counselors in front here so that somebody can talk to you one-on-one. You see, there are a lot of issues I might need to check. You know, is he really growing the things of God? Because you don't even have to be an expert in business to obey someone. So really, you might need to bring a sales girl in if she's not listening. But what our advice is that after the meeting, please come to the front. Because you're a married person, I can't just go into some details. So after the meeting, come to the front. There'll be counselors there that will talk. Maybe Mr. Debo is a businessman. He will talk with you. He's the marriage counselor too. But I'm sure his wife is not eating their capital. Hopefully. All right, praise God. So we'll do that because he's a married man. We can't address his own publicly. This one is interesting, Guano. He said, my parents subject me to virginity tests yearly, and I'm not comfortable about it. How do I stop it? And I will soon be getting married. I'm very embarrassed at you. If you soon be getting married, I assume you are more than 18. You see, Africa, we are not near civilization yet in this part of the world. The only difference is that they still allow us wear normal clothes like this. Normally, we should be tying leaf at this stage. We are not near civilization at all. Here, people worship parents and all that here. It's wrong. If there was war, after 18, they will recruit you to war. They won't ask your parents. They will recruit you to war. You are a full-grown adult. You are a man or a woman. So, Did they tie you to take you to this, to do this test? So stop being childish. It's not everything. Listen carefully. It's not everything your parents are telling you that is right. Oh, I will tell you that right now. It's not everything your parents are telling you that is right. If what they're telling you is not in line with the word of God, don't accept it. So how can you, a full-grown adult that you're planning to get married, your parents are carrying you, except they tied you. And even if they tie you, after that first time they tie you, you don't come back to that house. Also, that probably means you don't have a job. You're behaving like a child. That's why. They are seeing some childishness in you. You can imagine a full-grown adult like me now. You want to carry me somewhere? If I nod one person. So I think the problem is that in Nigeria we don't grow. If somebody that is 40 years old, his mother is still controlling 40. A man of 40, mother said, come here, kneel down. 40. When will you grow? Listen very carefully. Your parents will never know when you are grown until you tell them. In their eyes, you are still that 2-year-old girl running up and down, rolling tire on the street. That's what they see. So it's you that will give them a shock that, come, I'm old now. They say, okay, it's true. They won't know. Left to them, they will control you. Even after you have children, they'll keep controlling you. So all this parents worship that is going on in this Africa, I'm tired of it. I've seen many parents advise children to get married, marriages that have broken today. And the parents have gone home. I'm the one now doing the counseling. And the parents are the one that told them to marry. Nonsense advice that parents are giving these days. If your parents are not spiritually sound or even mentally sound, because this one is not even spiritual, it's just they're not even just mentally sound. How did they even tell you that they want to take you to marriage? How did they tell you? And you follow them. What makes you think if you're married, they won't still be testing you for other things? This abuse. If it's abroad, they could arrest your parents. It's abuse, totally. So I'm very embarrassed at you and your parents. Because I think you should be mature enough to deal with it. Talk to a pastor. Talk to the pastor immediately. After the service, come to the front. Talk to somebody. It's embarrassing. They're checking you. Do they check your teeth too? Whether you bath? They might check whether you bath where. It's embarrassing, please. Talk to somebody after the service. Pastor, this one is interesting. I will end with this one. Good evening, sir. To what extent does astrology play a role in compatibility? You see, the person asking the question is not born again. You need to get born again today. They say that your birth star. Okay. I will not even read the question. If you're the one that wrote about astrology, it is a sin. It's written in the Bible to be reading stars and reading moon. It is a sin that can take you to hellfire. You need to get born again today. Don't live here without getting born again. Tomorrow might be too late. Get born again. You are not saved at all. So after the service, come to the front. Somebody will lead you to Christ. You don't read stars. It's a demonic activity to be reading stars. Okay? It's a demon. It can send you to hell. So please do not even indulge in it. Please, I want to understand the situation of a guy who, okay, I think we are okay, Abby. Praise the Lord. There are counselors in front here. They are married people and they are trained counselors. If I couldn't deal with your question or I didn't deal with it well, or you didn't even ask it at all, and you want someone to talk with you one-on-one, like the man that talked about his business and other things, please come to the front here after the service. Someone will talk with you personally